We're on page 842. We started the story with Miriam's passing, and there was no more water left. And we explained because the well came in the merit of Miriam, and therefore when Miriam passed away, the well went left. And we explained the importance of the well, and that was the mikvah of the Jewish people, and that was the water to drink of the Jewish people, and it was the whole thing. So Miriam passed away, there's no more water. So the people came arguing to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, why did you take us out that we should die? We should have died a different death earlier. In what Rashi says, from here you see that the death of thirst is the worst type of a death. So, and there's nothing to drink. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron came to the Pesach El Mei, they fell on their faces, and Hashem appeared to the Jewish people. Okay, so this is where we're up to now. Pasuk Zion. Edavar Hashem al Moshe Leim, Hashem said to Moshe the following. Kachas Hamata, take the stick, the staff, Vahakel Soedo, and gather the community. Atav Aaron Achicha, you and Aaron, your brother. Ve'idabartem Asasela Leinem, you should speak to the rock in front of the face. Ve'nosim Meimav, and it should give water. So the question is, there's an interesting discussion amongst the commentaries over here. Which stick are we talking about? Kachas Hamata. Now, we learned so far in Chumash there were two matas that were popular. One was the Moshe Rabbeinu's mata that he did the 10 plagues in Egypt with, and he, you know, hid it on the whatever. And another opinion says this was the mata of Aaron. When Korach was fighting with Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem said, everybody take a stick, put it in Neil Moed, and the stick that blossoms, that's the right one, and Aaron's stick blossom, and none of the other sticks blossom, and that was the right one. So the Chizkuni, the Klayokar, others learn that this stick is Taka Aaron's stick. Why? Because that was a similar type of a miracle. Over there, a stick is dry. That's the definition of a mat, is dried stick. And yet, it produced flowers. Which means water, basically, because it takes water to make flowers grow. So the same thing, that stick is going to produce water from hitting the rock. And other people say, no, it's the matter that basically Moshe Rabbeinu used for all these things. Okay, but also he says like this, V'dibartem el hasela. Hasela means, you have a different chumash than...
Yeah.
Perek chof in Chukas, Pasuk Ches. V'dibartem el hasela means there was a particular rock that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to. Well, we'll soon see exactly what happened. Speak in front of their eyes, v'nosin meimav, and it will give water to drink. V'tzeisin lehem mayim in hasela, they should take out water from the rock. V'shkisav es ha'edav es be'irom, and you will give the Jews to drink and their cattle to drink. Now it's interesting. The people did not complain for the cattle. They complained, we have nothing to drink. Nevertheless, when Hashem told them to produce water, Hashem said, this is for you and for your animals. And here from Rashi says, Mikan, from here Rashi quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that says, from here you see that Hashem has pity even on Jewish money. Hashem has pity on the property of a Jew because he was worried also about the animals. The people only cared about themselves. Hashem said, no, worry about the animals too. That's the property of a Jew is holy. In fact, there's a Hasidic expression that God gives a Jew gashmius, and the Jew is supposed to make from the gashmius ruchnius. Hashem gives the Jew the physical, and the Jew is supposed to turn the physical into something spiritual. So that's the properties of the Jew, and in many places in Chumash we know that that's what happened. Okay, we're going to learn a few more psukim and then discuss the whole thing, because it's a lot of difficulties over here, exactly what really happened. V'yikach Moshe es hamata, mefnei Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu took the stick, kasher tzivah, like Hashem commanded him to do. By Akilu Moshe v'adin askola kola pnei asola, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the Jews next to the rock. And Rashi says, and this itself is a miracle. You had almost, even if you just count the men, you had 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. You had the babies. You had the senior citizens. Okay? All together in the Midbar, they say we're over 2 million people. Okay? So let's say there are 1 million men standing mamash next to the rock. That itself is a big miracle. And it's a few times in Chumash. But Rashi says, the Echem in HaMakemis, again, Rashi calls in the Medrash, this is one of the places, Shahichzik Muet Esam Ruba, where a small place held a lot of people. It was mamash a miracle that happened. So he brings them all to the rock. V'yayim Elohim Meshav Ben says to them like this, Shim El Noam Eidim, listen, rebels, HaMinasel HaZeh Neiti Lachem Mayim, are we going to bring forth water from this rock? And we'll, again, I'm just going to read the psukah and we're going to discuss this whole thing. Vayodeh meishes, yodeh, meishes bein picked up his hand. Vayachas hasela b'mateo pamoyim. He hit the rock twice with his stick. Vayetu mayim rabim, and a lot of water came out. Vateishto edo b'irom, and he gave the community drink and the animals to drink. So basically, if you just take the pasuk, very simple, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take the stick, talk to the rock, and take out water. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all the Jews together. He says, you think we could bring out water from this rock? And he hits the rock twice, and all of a sudden a lot of water comes out.
You say talk to him. Why?
One minute. This is the whole thing over here.
No, also they say take the stick. When it's stick, you have to eat it. Why Hashem said
eat it?
Hit something.
Oh, one second. There's a lot of things here that don't make sense. Why did you have to hit it twice? Once is not enough. So there's a lot of issues. There's like 10 different opinions. What exactly was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because as we'll soon learn, this was a sin that caused Moshe Rabbeinu not to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a pretty big sin, this one. And if you think about it, there are a lot of sins, the worst things Moshe Rabbeinu did, than this particular thing. But the question is, the story is like this. Basically, the way the Mefarshim say it, Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said, speak to the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficulty with it, because why did Hashem tell him to take the stick? The first time, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, in Parshas V'Shalach, When it started, the first time the water came, over there Hashem said to him, V'hikisa batsur, you should hit the rock. Over there Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, hit the rock. Here Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock.
When did he say to him, hit the rock?
Right before the battle of Amalek, right after Kriyas Yamsuf. The pasuk said they came, there was no water to drink. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, go before the people, take your stick that you hit the Ya'ar with, and hit the rock, and water is going to come out. That was in Parshas B'Shalach. Here Hashem said to him, speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the rock, hit the rock. So B'chlal said like this, if Hashem said to speak, why is he hitting? So again, the way the Medrash discusses this, and the way it's put into proper perspective, this is a very minimal sin for Moshe Rabbeinu's part. And therefore the question becomes now, we'll soon get to, so why was he punished such a terrible punishment? Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to the rock. But the rock, that was supposed to be the rock, hid amongst all the other rocks. And Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find it. So he spoke to the wrong rock.
Spoke or hid?
He spoke. This is what the Medrash says. He spoke to the wrong rock. Okay? What happened was, nothing happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu thinks to himself, 1 minute. Maybe God didn't help me speak. And he told me to take the stick. And last thing for sure, he told me to hit it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, 1 minute, maybe I didn't hear it, maybe I didn't understand, maybe Hashem wants me to hit it. So he hit it, and only a few drops came out. So Hashem made a miracle that the real stone came, and he hit it a second time, and the water came out. Okay? That is the... Even if the brings down from the bottom, the whole story over there. He says like this. Rashi says, "Vehema dibro al sela acher." They spoke to another rock, because Rashi says before that, "Vehema dibro al sela acher v'loy haitzi." They spoke to a different rock, and nothing happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe we need to hit it like the first time. And Hashem made the rock come, and he hit the rock, and water came out. Based on that, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do something very terrible with the hitting and the speaking. Okay? What did he do? He tried. He spoke. Nothing happened. So he hit it. What should he do? That's one thing that... now,
when he spoke, the same spot, the same places, how come he doesn't respond? How come he doesn't respond?
How come the rock didn't respond?
Because
he spoke to the wrong rock.
It's the same place that everybody...
he was the wrong rock. The rock went and hid. 1 minute. We're going to soon learn. In fact, here he brings down, it's interesting, we can see it even inside, on 845 at the bottom, at the bottom of the first column, okay, he goes into Moshe's sin. Yeah. You see, at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because what was exactly the sin of Moshe and Aaron? Okay? And he quotes, the Ramban writes that this is taka mystery in Torah. It's a mystery in Torah to understand what was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu over here. Because in the next pasuk, you know, we need to learn the next pasukim. Let's look inside pasuk Yud Beis. Ve'yem Hashem Meishiv al Aaron. So Hashem said to Meishiv al Aaron like this: Yan le'yamantem bi, because you do not believe in me, lak disheni leini b'nei Yisrael, to sanctify me in front of the Jews, lochein, because of that, le'saviu asakol azeh, you're not going to bring this community elo ares hashenasati lam to the land I gave them. So because of this, Moshe Rabbeinu was promised, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. And it says, Hey, Mamei Meriva, this is the waters of strife. Asher Ova B'nei Yisrael Hashem, where the Jews fought against Hashem. Ve'yikadish Bam, and Hashem became sanctified. That even a rock was able to give water. Okay, so therefore there seems to be over here a terrible, terrible sin for Moshe Rabbeinu's part that Hashem, just because you didn't sanctify me, just because of that, you're going to be punished. Now, one thing is given, one thing is understood. I don't think anybody in this room is able to hit a rock and produce water. Right? Think about it. Nobody in this room is going to be able to hit a rock and make water. So obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu's hitting the rock was a miracle. Right? You hit a rock and a lot of water comes out for the whole nation and the animals and the cattle. They had a lot of cattle. That's an unbelievable miracle. So why did Hashem tell Moshe, because you didn't sanctify me? Why is it not sanctifying? Isn't it sanctifying? Nobody else, no other Jew can hit a rock and get water. Why is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu, because you didn't sanctify me? So because of that, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Which reformation being was the worst possible punishment. Yeah? And yet Hashem said, you're not going in. So number one, the Mefarshim point out, and this is also on a level of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no question that God's name was sanctified by hitting the rock. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the rock and water would have come out, it would have been a bigger sanctification. And on a tzaddik's level, if you could do more, and you only do good, and you could do better, like we learned many times, on a tzaddik's level, that is a sin. And on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, well, we'll see other things also, on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, it was a very big sin. Because of his greatness. We don't have a problem of sanctifying God by hitting the rock or speaking to the rock. That's not our issue. For us, that's nothing. The Mefarshim are going to point out that Moshe Rabbeinu did other sins. Now, I'll say again. They're not sins. On Moshe Rabbeinu's level, but Hashem didn't want to punish him until he did this. God. That means, like it says, when Aaron made the eagle, you know, he didn't make the eagle, but he was part of it. Already Hashem said to himself then, Aaron's not going into Eretz Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies, and they came back negative report, Hashem already said to himself, Moshe Rabbeinu is not going into Eretz Yisrael. But he waited until this happened. Because this was public. This was in front of all the Jews. And because of that, Hashem said, so it's not only this sin, it's like, the Medrash gives an analogy, a son did a terrible thing to the father, but the father didn't punish the son. Later on, the son did a tiny little thing, so the father gave him the punishment for before also. So it wasn't only this, hitting the rock and speaking to the rock, it was an accumulation of other things before. Because they ask a question, Moshe Rabbeinu said, and Rashi brings it down. Rashi says, Rashi said, oh, here. Haleitzeinu baki yishachit koshim izu. Moshe Rabbeinu said before to Hashem by the Slav, you know, the Jews complain, where's the meat? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, where am I supposed to get meat from? Right? So Hashem said to him, you doubting me? Of course I can get meat. What are you doubting me? So Rashi says in the Medrash, that was a worse crime than what Moshe Rabbeinu did here.
Yeah.
Over there, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, where am I going to get meat from? But he didn't believe that Hashem could give meat. That was doubting Hashem's ability. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, sanctify him either 100% or 95%. So he did 95%. No, so big deal. Yet this was worse because Rashi says over there was a discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem himself. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem privately, where am I going to get meat from? This was a public thing. And what was the public sin? Not that he did anything wrong. As far as the Jews were concerned, by the way, if you think about it, the Jews didn't know that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu talk. Hashem said Moshe Rabbeinu talk to the rock, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. They didn't know that God didn't tell him hit the rock.
So why did they give him a stick?
Why they made a mistake?
No, a stick. They give him a stick. They say, take your stick. Why? If he doesn't want it.
Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying the stick all the time.
No, this is different.
Okay.
Why did they say that you get a stick? If he's not
done. So let's discuss the various mafarsh. Some of them they bring down here. Some the Mamleis brings down. According to Rashi, you can see it inside, like I said, 8:45 at the bottom. Rashi's view is that Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the sin? Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. The Rambam, in his Pirish and Pirkei Avos, in Shemena Prakim, which is the introduction of the Rambam to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam over there writes that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he got angry at the Jewish people.
That you can understand as well.
Listen, for me and you, these are not sins. Maybe for you. For me, these are not sins. And again, they did something wrong to him. They were screaming, you know, you're God's, give us water. It wasn't something personal against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as a teacher, is getting angry at the students for misbehaving. Look, what's the big deal? On his level, Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. And he says, because if Moshe was angry, then Hashem must be angry. And we don't find that Hashem was angry at the Jewish people. In other words, like this. There's another rule that Mefarshim point out, here in different places. When the Jews asked for meat, God got angry at them. When they asked for food, the man, Hashem did not get angry at them. When there was no water here, or even in Parshas B'Shalach, they had no water, and they asked for water, and they complained, Hashem didn't get angry at them. Why? Hashem said, you have a legitimate request, I'm not going to get angry at you. You want meat, you want luxury, That already, well, you have no right to ask for it. But when the Jews said we need water, which is a necessity, Hashem said, I'm not going to get angry at you. Even though they asked it in the chutzpah, they said to him, why are you taking us out to die this way instead of dying another way? I mean, he could have said, Hashem, you know, we ran out of water. Maybe you can give from the reserves. You know, it gives. They could have asked like a mensch. They didn't. But Hashem said, but at least they're asking properly. They're asking what they need. So Hashem, so the Rambam explains like this. Why did Hashem get angry at Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, by getting angry, he gave the impression to the Jews that God is angry. Because if God's not angry, why is Moshe Rabbeinu getting angry? If Moshe Rabbeinu is getting angry, that means Hashem is angry. And that Hashem had a problem with. The Chananel, which is Ramban, holds, what was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, similar to what the Malachim was doing, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Hamin ha-sela zeh neitzi lachem mayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, from this rock, do you think me and Aaron can give water? What do you mean, you and Aaron? It's Hashem, not you and Aaron. It's like with the Malachim, it's Dom, in Pasha Zayera. When the Malachim said to Light, we are destroying the city, the Malachim were punished. Because the Malachim, Hashem said, well, you're destroying the city, you're my shluchim, you're my messengers, you're not destroying the city, I'm destroying the city. And the Malachim took the credit for themselves. So according to the Ramban, it said, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, not will we bring out the water. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, will Hashem bring out the water? What is he saying them for? Abarbanel says like this. And this is what we explained. So according to the Abarbanel, he learns like Rashi, that the sin was that he spoke to the, he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. But that itself wouldn't have been enough. So the Abarbanel explains, because Aaron sinned on the eagle, and Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies, therefore the Medrash Tanchum also says that is the reason why Hashem now gave him the punishment. This was like the straw that broke the camel's back, and because of that he punished them now. But this sin itself wouldn't have been the punishment of not going into Eretz Yisrael. And then he brings down another interesting thing. He brings down Chiddush Erim, says, when it says le'einehem, it says v'dibartem al sela le'einehem, okay, meaning like this, that they should not only see it, that they should understand it too. Meaning like this, according to the Chiddush Erim, he explains that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu was when Hashem said to him, "Do it le'inehem." At the beginning, it says, "Dibartem al asala le'inehem." What does it mean? Hashem said, "Dibartem al asala, speak to the rock." Why is Hashem adding the word, "Speak to the rock in front of the Jews"? So he says like this: what Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to do is that the Jews should understand that when you do what God wants, He will give you whatever you need to do what He wants. He will do whatever you need to give you what you need to do what Hashem wants. And that's what Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to explain to the Jews. V'dibartem al asela le'inehem, that they should understand that Hashem is giving you whatever you need. When you want to do mitzvahs, this is what, similar to what we learned in the past. There's a very interesting Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that, because the Rambam disagrees with the Ramban in Kabbalah, but the Rambam holds that the reward of mitzvahs is not physical reward. According to the Rambam, in many different places, the reward for Torah and mitzvahs is Gan Eden. It's Gan Eden. So the question is, Rambam asks, so to speak, on himself. It says in Chumash, in B'chukei Seiteleichu, If you follow, we read this week's parasha, Baran B'chukaisi, yeah? It says in B'chukaisi, Teleichu, if you follow in the ways of my Torah, mitzvahs, you're going to get Shmeichem be'itam, and you're going to have produce, and Minasati Shalom Ba'aretz, and you're going to have kids, and everything's going to be fantastic. So the Rambam asks, seemingly it means that's a reward for Torah mitzvahs. And the Rambam says, but that's not true, because the reward of Torah mitzvahs is Gan Eden, not the physical thing. Why is Hashem giving physical reward? The Rambam asks in Hilchos Tshuva. Why is the Hashem giving physical reward for mitzvahs, which is supposed to be a spiritual reward? So the Rambam answers, this is the Rambam's opinion. Again, the Ramban disagrees with him. Kabbalah disagrees with him. But the Rambam learns a very interesting concept. He says, when Hashem gives Jews reward for the mitzvahs, it's not reward. What is it? In B'chukaisi Teleichu, you're going to get a lot of greatness. What does it mean? It means like this. Hashem says to the Jew, the reward is going to be Gan Eden. Spiritual, neshama, no guf. But in B'chukaisi Teleichu, if I see you trying to do mitzvahs, I'm going to make your life easier. Not as a reward. When I see that you're trying to do mitzvahs, we don't allow from the Kapina gallery. It says in B'chukaisi Teleichu that if you will be going in the mitzvahs properly, then I will take away the difficulties that don't allow you to do mitzvahs. In other words, I'm going to make your life easier.
Just do mitzvah.
In other words, it's not a reward for the mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is greater than Gan Eden. By giving you the gashmi, you have money, you'll be able to have time to learn Torah. You'll be able to pay tuition. You'll be able to do things. You'll have peace of mind, you can accomplish much. But not as a reward. It's the concept of making life easier to observe and do what Hashem wants us to do. And the same thing they explain with this thing. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'dibartem al hasela le'neihem, it means, I want the Jews to understand that when you do what Hashem wants, you need water, He will give you water. You need man, He will give you man. And so on. Over here, there's also another interesting concept, which is a very important thing, which shows the concept of a leader. We learned already before we started all this, the man came in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, the well came in the schutz of Miriam, and the clouds came in the merit of Aaron HaKohen. When Miriam died, it came back. In whose merit? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made the water. He hit the rock. Okay, we made the water. After Aaron passed away, also in Parshas Chukas, the clouds went away. They came back in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is explained that a leader, his job is to take care of the needs of the Jewish people. That's the definition of a leader. To take care of the physical and spiritual needs of the community. So up to now, it was in the schus of Miriam. Miriam's not there. It's not his job, so to speak. Because the job of the water was Miriam. The job of the clouds was Aaron HaKohen. It wasn't his job. It's a job spec, as it's called in America. It's not in the contract to do this. But the definition of a leader is, they need water, I'm going to make sure they have water. That they're going to need the clouds, I'm going to make sure they're going to have the clouds. Even though it's not necessarily my job, but whatever needs to be done for the Jewish people, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. By doing this, what?
Moshe's job?
Moshe Rabbeinu's job was Teira Tziva Lanu Moshe. That's why the man that they ate is similar to Torah. Because Torah besoch me'oi, or Torah is called lechem, l'chu lachmu b'lachmi, there's a pasuk, Torah is called bread, like man, food that you digest. Moshe Rabbeinu's level was Teira. Aaron HaKohen was the level of the clouds, which symbolizes peace. I mean, a lot of different things. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching a Jew, teaching us, so to speak, that when there's a need that a Jew has, There's no such thing as not my job. Right now the Jews needed water. Meshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, we need to get water. Let's go. And Meshe Rabbeinu produces water. Obviously Hashem, but through Meshe Rabbeinu. And the same thing with the clouds. What's the lesson for us, obviously, when there's a Jew that needs something, we have to give it to them.
So, what? Hashem really had it in his mind that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go to the world.
Correct.
He thought to send this back.
Correct.
That's why Moshe gets upset.
One second. Yeah.
And then, when he hit the rock, he did that punishment.
Right.
So, didn't Hashem want it, all of those things happen?
Yeah. Did Hashem want the Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael? Why? What did God care if Moshe Rabbeinu would go into Eretz Yisrael? He davened 515 times, begging. Don't you think Moshe Rabbeinu deserved to go into Eretz Yisrael?
Right.
Yeah, so why did the God not let him go?
Take God to Beit Din.
Yeah, I'm sure he took him. Why didn't God want Moshe Rabbeinu to go in? Says the Vard, the Vilna Gaon says it, a lot of Mefarshim say it. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu went in, we wouldn't be here today. Why? The Medrash says, Maisi Yadei Moshe Nitzchim. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu made was never destroyed. The Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made was never destroyed. It's buried, it's existing, buried wherever it is. Anything Moshe Rabbeinu made was not destroyed. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. Correct? That means when the Jews sinned, like this, that the Jews sinned, like the Pasuk says, Ki lechamasei al etzim v'alavanim. Hashem laid out his anger on sticks and stones. Hashem destroyed a building, but he didn't destroy the Jews. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem wouldn't be able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So then he would have to destroy the Jews.
Hashem said,
listen, I know what you want, but let me tell you something. You're only interested in the Jews. For the Jews, it's no good for you to go into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's the benefit of the Jewish people, and Moshe Rabbeinu, as the leader, cared about the Jewish people more than he cared about himself. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, I am not letting you go in, not because I'm cruel and mean and I don't want to forgive you. It's for the benefit of the Jewish people for you not to go in. Because if you go in, I'm going to have to destroy the Jewish people.
But maybe if Moshe Rabbeinu was building the Beit HaMikdash, it was so much light, but the Jewish would not sin.
Leave it to the Jews, they sin anyway. Let me ask you a question. The Jews saw Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
They saw Kriyas Yam Suf?
Okay.
They saw Matan Torah?
Yeah.
How much more light than that do you want? And did they sin? And they sinned. One minute, they made an eagle.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? How much more light is Matan Torah? Matan Torah was a greater revelation than the Beit HaMikdash. And yet they sinned. So, what do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu built the Beit HaMikdash, they wouldn't sin? The Jews will find a way to sin anyway. It's in the blood. They're going to sin. And then Hashem would have to destroy the Jewish people instead of destroying Moshe Rabbeinu. Instead of destroying the building. So Hashem said. So it's not the pshat that Hashem... Understand? So, yes, Hashem wanted this to happen. Hashem wanted this to happen. And Hashem wanted the miraglim to happen. But the bottom line of it all is, yes, this is exactly the plan of what Hashem wants. Let me explain one thing we see from here, from all these commentaries. We see one thing clearly. The Moshe Rabbeinu was not some, in Yiddish they were called Grabbe Jung, an Eizvarf, a low life that sinned. I mean, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, you're talking about Ishu Alikim. I mean, his sin, they tell a story. There was a certain great Pelesh Rebbe that he was coming back from Tashlich. One of his students, I think it was Naftali Rabshitzer, was running to the Tashlich. The Rebbe is coming back and he's running to the Tashlich. So he said to him, Naftali, where are you running? The Rebbe is coming back already. He says, I'm running to grab the Rebbe's Avedis. Mm-hmm. I want to get the Rebbe's sins that he threw into the ocean. I want those sins. You know what I mean? It's not the level that we have to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was a very great man. And what he did, he did. And Hashem wanted it to do it. And on his level, and Bechlal, like we learned many, many times, on everybody's personal level, okay, if you could do better, and you do good, on your level, that's a sin. And the person's level, like we learned many, many times, we discussed, a tzaddik has no yetzahara. Gemara says, she'en lo yetzahara ki hargu betaynus. The Gemara says, a tzaddik, by definition, especially if Tanya, but even the Gemara says, a tzaddik ein lam yetzahara she'hargu betaynus. He kills it by fasting. So if he doesn't have a yetzahara, right, how does the tzaddik have free choice to do good or bad? Then he's like an angel. Right? Do we know angels are no good? See, if a tzaddik has no yetzahara, what does he have to choose good and bad? So we learned many, many times, it's brought down in Sfarim, that by a tzaddik, and every person, by the way, is in this level, by a tzaddik, it's not a question of good and bad. By a tzaddik, the choice is between good and better. And if a tzaddik does good instead of better, he sinned. And at tzaddik's level, that's called an aveda. That's called a sin. Okay? And the lesson for every person is, if you could do better and you only do good, it's a sin. It's a sin. And that's for every person you should know. It's not only, obviously we have our tests between good and bad. But on a very simple level, a person that could do better and only does good, I'll give you an example. A 95 on the test is a very good mark. Right? But if the kid should have gotten 100, it's not such a good mark. Is it a bad mark? Is 95 a bad mark? 95 is a very good mark. But the kid who should have gotten 100, for him, it's bad. It's bad. Because he should have done better. And that's what the Torah is teaching us with all this. May Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Yan le'yamantem bi, because you didn't trust in me, you didn't believe in me. Okay? Just because of this, and again, to sanctify, and not that he didn't sanctify, he sanctified, even hitting a rock is sanctifying. But he could have done it more by speaking. And meaning, the Mefarshim, other Mefarshim say to justify Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the rock, okay, and the rock would have given water, Hashem could have had a complaint against the Jews. You see, I speak to the rock, he doesn't sin. I speak to you, you sin. Look at it from this way. If Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to the rock and the rock would give water, yeah, it would be sanctifying Hashem's name. But then Hashem could turn around and say, you see, Jews, when I talk to you, you don't listen. I talk to the rock, it listens. So Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Again, saying, and therefore, what's Hashem? I hit you, you don't, Hashem doesn't hit. So that's what it is. Now, when it says in the Pasuk, Hema mei meriva, these are the waters of fighting, where Sheravu b'nei Yisrael says Shem Yikadosh Bam. Now, what does it mean, Mei Meriva? So the Mefarshim explain, and Rashi says it. This is Hema, when the Pasuk says, these are the waters of strife, that means these are well-known waters. This is going back earlier in Chumash. Why did Paro say, throw all the kids into the Nile? Because Paro is the stargazer, the astrologer, saw that Nail the Mashiach and Shal Yisrael, the Jewish Savior, is born. And he's going to be punished in water. So Paro said, throw all the babies in the water, because then they'll be punished. But Paro didn't know that the Mashiach and Shal Yisrael was punished with water. 40 years later, these waters. So the stargazers saw correctly that the Mashiach Shal Yisrael, the Savior of the Jewish people, is going to be punished with water. But Parit didn't know what it meant. And the Torah says, Hema Meimeriva, this is the water that we're talking about earlier in Chumash, when Parit said, throw the kids into the Nile. Because the Mashiach Shal Yisrael is going to be punished. Rashi says this. Here. And therefore he made a gzeda kolabena yilur yiratashlichu. And therefore they were punished with this. This water. Not that water, this water. Now, what does it mean by Yikodish Bam and Hashem was sanctified through them? What does it mean? So we find the Rashi says also that Hashem sanctified himself by punishing Moshe and Aaron. Remember, by Nadav and Avihu, when they died, Moshe ben said to Aaron, "Hu asher dibar Hashem b'kreivei ekadesh, I'm going to be sanctified by the ones close to me." Nadav and Avihu were even greater than Moshe and Aaron. So, Ekadesh Bam is, this is the sanctification of God's name, when Moshe and Aaron were punished as not being able to take the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. That's where Hashem sanctified his name, because people saw that even the great people, if they don't listen, are punished for it. And this again, you know, the Mefarshim point out, in fact, the Ramban brings on over here also, by the first waters in Parshas B'Shalach, Rashi over there, the Chumash says, gather for me the elders of the Jewish people. Here, every Jew is there. That's Kol HaKol. So here was a greater sanctification of God's name because every single Jew saw it. Over there, only the elders saw it. But here, everybody saw it, so that's a much greater, greater level. Okay, let's just start the next psukim and see what happens. But Yishlach Meisha Malachim, Meisha Rabbeinu sent Malachim Mikadesh from the city of Kadesh, which were the Jews were in now, El Melech Edim to the king of Edim. Because now you have to realize the Jews have to go into Eretz Yisrael. 40 years are up, everybody died that was supposed to die. Now they need to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Meisha Rabbeinu thought, we're going to take a shortcut. We're going to go through the land of Edim, okay, and they'll be able to go into Eretz Yisrael quicker. So Moshe sent messengers from Kadesh El Melech Edim, and he says like this: Kay Amar Achicha Yisrael, so your brother Yisrael, you don't Edom came from Mesav, right? Ato Yadaito, you know, Eiskol Atlo Hashem Etzosnu, all the difficulties we have become. So Rashi asks, why over here does all of a sudden the Jews and the Arabs become, the Edom become brothers? Achicha Yisrael. So Rashi says we're all descendants from Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu said, "Kigay years at Acha," and we're foreigners in a land. So he says he's sending messengers to the land of Edom to let the Jewish people go through the south of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to go into to Edom. Vayedav Yisrael Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Edom people what happened. Our forefather went down to Mitzrayim, Veneshe b'Mitzrayim Yom Rabu, many days in Egypt. Ve'yarei Elona Mitzim v'Avesunu, and the Egyptians did evil to us, and that for forefathers we suffered a lot. Okay? Now, the question is, and we'll leave it with this. The question is, Moshe Rabbeinu said what they did to us and our fathers. So simply, it means, because this is the new generation. The older generation died out, so they were in Egypt also. But Rashi says a very remarkable thing. Vlaviseinu means our forefathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says, what does this mean? Rashi says, Sha'avitz mitzdainim bekever, k'shepiron yizbal Yisrael. The Medrash says, Rashi says, that when the Jews are suffering, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have pain in the grave. In other words, when the Eden suffer, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are suffering at the same time. And that's how serious the crime is, so to speak, and it's bad, that this is what goes on. And they're extending to Adam. The bottom line is Adam doesn't let them. We'll continue next week.